This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The Trump administration has been working hard to undo Obama-era policies and regulations relating to renewable energy and climate change. The capstone was the president's announcement earlier this summer that the U.S. will withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. Individual states have been working for some time to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and advance renewable energy. The change, of course, at the federal level has renewed the focus on those initiatives. And the Northeast Clean Energy Council has just put together a rundown of legislation coming out of the 2017 sessions in the six New England states. Policy analyst Jamie Dickerson joins me now to talk about it. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
All right. A lot of legislatures are actually in recess now in August, right? And then they've got the fall to wrap up the 2017 session?
For the most part, yes. The New England states, the vast majority of them, end their legislative activity around June each year. The two exceptions are Maine and Massachusetts, which have two-year sessions. So Massachusetts will return for some work in the fall, and Maine will largely begin work anew after the end of the new year in January of 2018.
All right. Well, let's start with Massachusetts, since that's where we are. More than 100 energy-related bills filed this session. Don't give us the full 100-long list, please, but a few notable examples, maybe. What's been going on?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You know, Massachusetts has been a leader on energy broadly, but clean energy specifically for, you know, more than a decade now. And it's actually not unusual for there to be this amount of bills filed each year, but certainly, as you indicated in the introduction, this magnitude of activity is, you know, reflects a shared interest in and urgency around, you know, state action on clean energy. And there's a handful of really, really important bills that have been filed this year. Chief among them, I'd say, are bills to expand the Massachusetts Renewable Portfolio Standard, known as the RPS, and other bills seeking to increase the net metering caps, you know, push the state forward on things like energy storage and electric vehicles, and then the critically important work on energy efficiency and grid modernization, which themselves comprise a whole swath of initiatives. But that's a good flavor for some of the major proposals. And I shouldn't leave out, of course, a lot of the work that's being done on carbon pricing, too, with a few bills proposed this year, too.
Well, we will talk more about carbon pricing in a few minutes. As you mentioned, Massachusetts really has gained a reputation in recent years as a leader, particularly in the clean energy policy arena. But you kind of put together a scorecard for the New England states, and Massachusetts may be bringing up a lot of ideas, putting up a lot of, you know, bills and proposals, but it doesn't seem like anything's really been progressing this session. So what's going on there? What's holding up things?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an abnormal holdup. The Mass legislature has sort of fallen into a pattern or a recent practice of reserving most of the actual passage of legislation until the second year of their biannual session. There have been a lot of hearings held in the Telecom Utilities and Energy Committee so far, including on energy storage, including on carbon pricing and electric vehicles and another important topic. So work is being done. But we have expected all along that while there would be some small chance of legislating in 2017, a lot of the major work for bill passage, would be left till 2018.
So not necessarily cause for concern. You know, it's just we've got to wait another 6 months to a year to actually start seeing these actually come to fruition.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we want things to be moving as quickly as possible, but we know that the legislature has to deal with budgets and healthcare and a whole other, you know, array of issues in addition to energy. So we're happy to be patient and wait to do it right in 2018.
You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. I'm talking with policy analyst Jamie Dickerson of the Northeast Clean Energy Council about energy legislation in New England. Jamie, as you alluded to earlier, carbon pricing bills have been a hot topic this year. There are a couple different versions, actually, that were introduced in Massachusetts in this legislative session. What are they proposing, and where do those proposals stand at this point?
Yeah. As have been introduced in previous sessions, 2017 also saw the refiling of several very important carbon pricing bills. They vary in a couple of key sort of design elements, but largely they all do the same thing, which is to impose an economy-wide price on carbon emissions.
Which nobody likes to use the word tax, but it's a fee, essentially. It's to most of us, it would look like a tax on anything that incurs a carbon footprint, right?
It would, but importantly, it would also be attached to a significant rebate for all of the or the majority of the revenues that would be taken in by that tax. So, and that's actually one of the design elements that the bills differ on. Senator Michael Barrett's bill is revenue neutral, which means that all of the proceeds from the carbon price would be rebated to residents and businesses in the Commonwealth. And one of the bills that's been filed in the House by Rep. Jen Benson, I believe, reserves about 20% of the revenues for reinvestment in, you know, important priority clean energy projects and technologies, while rebating around 80% to residents and businesses.
And Massachusetts isn't alone in looking at this option of putting a price on carbon. There have been some bills introduced in other New England states as well, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Connecticut and Rhode Island, and certainly Vermont, have all shown a keen interest in this session and in previous sessions as well. And we actually think that regionalization of an economy-wide carbon price would be absolutely essential to doing it right. And the states have a great example to follow in the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is the cap-and-trade program for emissions from the electric power sector that already exists across Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states.
In case you're just joining us, I'm talking with Northeast Clean Energy Council policy analyst Jamie Dickerson about state legislative action on clean energy in New England. Jamie, since you mentioned the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, sometimes called REGI, this isn't necessarily legislation that's going on, but certainly policy. REGI is in the process of being extended. The states that are members, the nine states that are members, are trying to determine what the caps will be in terms of the carbon emission caps that will be imposed. Where does that whole process of extending REGI stand right now?
Yeah, so the 2016 program review for REGI has been underway for a while now and is actually entering the very final stages of that review. There was a final in-person stakeholder meeting in New York City, I believe at the end of June, and the states, along with REGI Inc., are right now in the process of deciding between a number of important policy decisions for the future of the program, including the overall sort of the central cap and the rate of decline on emissions across three scenarios that have been modeled so far, and a number of other related policy elements that will inform the overall stringency of the program for the near future. So we expect the decision from the states is happening imminently, and a public decision would be released likely at the end of the summer, early fall, possibly in September.
How much did changes in federal policy and the incoming Trump administration slow down that process? I mean, a decision had been expected significantly earlier on this extension, and there had been a lot of public statements from governors of REGI states, you know, really kind of ambitious statements, and then things seemed to quiet down and slow down a bit. Was that a major factor?
I think it was, but I also think that uncertainty about the federal emission program or federal emission activity was always in the minds of the states in REGI. For example, a lot of the modeling that they've undergone over the last year or so has had scenarios for national policies and a lack of national policies. And the REGI states knew essentially that their involvement in REGI would be sufficient for compliance with something like the Clean Power Plan. But certainly the newfound or relatively newfound stop in the Clean Power Plan activity has re-emboldened the REGI states' efforts, but I also think it has given them a little bit of pause to make sure they get this program decision right.
There have been a number of studies that have come out in the past couple of years, you know, timed to coincide with this reassessment and an extension process, that have shown a lot of benefits to being part of REGI, whether that's the revenue that's coming in or savings in health spending because of better air quality, you know, a whole variety of things. And yet we just saw about a month ago New Jersey Governor Chris Christie vetoed an effort by the New Jersey legislature to actually get that state back into REGI. They were originally, then they weren't. I guess they still won't be. Did that come as a surprise?
Unfortunately, I don't think it did come as a surprise for the Christie administration. The good news, however, is that with his term coming to an end, and I think all of the gubernatorial candidates have acknowledged a willingness, if not an outright commitment, to rejoin REGI in New Jersey. And New Jersey is not alone, I think. Recent action in Virginia has them increasingly looking at some type of participation, potentially as a full REGI member or a participant member. That's great news for the, on the horizon for REGI and potentially expanding its footprint, regaining New Jersey and then potentially exploring opportunity for engagement with Virginia as well.
And California just extended their carbon cap and trade program through 2030. How important is that here on the East Coast? Does that, put pressure? Does that set an example or in any way influence, do you think, the state-level policies on the East Coast?
I think it does, both symbolically and substantively. Many of the REGI states, in the wake of the Trump administration's decision to withdraw from the Paris climate accords, joined California and a number of other states in forming the U.S. Climate Alliance. And certainly, there's always a little bit of an informal tug of war between California's leadership on energy and climate issues and the northeastern states like New York and Massachusetts, but also smaller ones like Connecticut and Rhode Island, who, are very much eager to be taking up the mantle of clean energy progress, especially in the wake of inaction at the federal level. So I think California's decision to expand and to really double down on its emission reduction commitments, it will have an effect on the thinking and the strategy of the REGI states on the East Coast.
In case you're just joining us, I'm talking with policy analyst Jamie Dickerson about state legislative action on clean energy in New England. We've mentioned this scorecard that you put together for the New England states. Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont all fared pretty well on your scorecard. What would you say are some of the wins that they have in their columns?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a lot of it was a really exciting year, and there were a lot of major wins for clean energy in the Northeast. If we had to pick out a singular achievement, I think we might look to Rhode Island and its enactment of a 10-year extension of the successful renewable energy growth, the REG program. There were the two companion bills in Rhode Island, House Bill 5274 and Senate Bill 112. Those both lock Rhode Island into 10 years of policy security and certainty for the renewable energy growth program. And that's a tariff program that supports distributed solar, wind, small hydro, renewables, and it's extending the program for 10 years at 40 megawatts per year. So for a small, relatively small state like Rhode Island, 400 megawatts is nothing to shake a stick at. So that was our top legislative priority in Rhode Island this year, and we were thrilled that the legislative champions who filed it, and Governor Raimondo, who signed it. We were thrilled that was able to happen this year.
As I was looking at the scorecard and thinking about the governors of New England states, we've got four Republicans, two Democrats, and it certainly doesn't seem to, line up. It's not that states with Democratic governors are pushing really hard on clean energy legislation and those with Republican governors are not, using that just as kind of a crude metric maybe of where the state is politically. And I wonder what you see in that. What does that say maybe about the state of the climate policy debate in this country right now that you can't necessarily predict what a state's doing on clean energy based on the party of their governor?
Yes, it really is a fascinating political dynamic. And I think the Northeast has for a number of years, but is increasingly seeing the separation of clean energy as a partisan issue. And I think New Hampshire is a great case study of a state with, that historically may not have been as friendly to clean energy as some of the other states in the region, but even with a Republican governor and a Republican-controlled state legislature, you know, the legislature decided not to act on a number of proposals that could have been very harmful for clean energy, and indeed passed a couple of important pieces of legislation, like Senate Bill 129, that are going to move New Hampshire forward on the clean energy front. So, I think this region is a microcosm for, I think you might say, the mainstreaming of clean energy as a policy priority for both of our political parties.
That's Northeast Clean Energy Council policy analyst Jamie Dickerson with the latest on state legislative action on clean energy in New England. Jamie, thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
I'm Heather Goldstone. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.